just making a list, checking it twice. Gonna find out who's naughty or nice. If you're naughty, you get cold. Not so fast. On today's episode, Hermelaine is going to share with us the story of Santa Claus and his helpers, and what happens to children who are naughty. It's not what you think. Stay tuned. Peace. Hello, and welcome back to Sense8. I'm Haruna, and I'm joined by, again, of course, the lovely...
I'm sorry. I'm Hermelaine.
How's it going?
Yeah, I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm doing well. I hear that you just did a fantastic meditation.
Yes.
Can you tell us about that?
Yes. You know, in this lockdown we are in, and having been doing all the work that I did, I thought I combined these things, and I'm working with energy on the internet. And with the big conjunction of Saturn and Jupiter, we had this mass gathering with 500 people, or mass. It's you know, mass. It's big. It's more. But we had 500 people being together, focusing on the light and bringing it into the body and into the earth. And it was great. So I'm really stepping into something beautiful that's so aligned with who I am and the work that I do and what people need, especially in these times of lockdown and not being able to connect. Yeah.
What's the conjunction specifically?
The conjunction on the 21st of December was the conjunction between the two biggest planets of our solar system, which is Saturn and Jupiter. And Saturn is more about regulations, you can say that. And Jupiter is more about expansion and freedom. So when these two come together, they bring in this energy of transformation, where we are, you know, still maybe stuck in ourselves or need to grow, and the parts of us that want to grow, and where we, well, but we feel this friction between the both sides of us, the wanting to grow and the ego that doesn't want to grow, just want to stay there where it is and be fixed.
And this is unique because it doesn't happen that often, right?
Now, it's unique in the sense that it happens every 20 years. So that's not that unique. But this time there was a difference that this conjunction, always the two planets always come together in a specific sign. How do you say that?
Astrological.
Astrological sign. And they have been coming together in the earth signs. So they were connected to themes that are more earthly, like power and money and the financial system and security. And now, for the first time in 200 years, they came together in an air sign, Aquarius. So, and the air signs are about something else. They are more energetic and they are more, well, maybe focused on dreams or talents or, you know, the bigger perspectives. So there, and that something we have seen this whole year, where the old structures, which are more fixed, are now being torn down, and we are going more into, well, the hopefully the Aquarius side of things, like unity or being equal or connection. So, and it's also about technology. So all these things are getting bigger now, and we have seen that too in the past year. So, and it was the first time, I think, in 800 years that it was so, we could see it so well. but not in the Netherlands. It was cloudy and rainy. I don't know if you've seen it, or I've seen a picture, and it's like a massive star. You know, it's like a big, huge star. And what they say also is that maybe the Star of Bethlehem has been like the same star that people have seen then. So in the big cycles, it has been there also, but we haven't seen it so often. So that made it very special. Yeah. So you can also feel when we're talking about it, how this, you know, really resonates in us, and how it can really bring forth a new energy also to Earth and to ourselves. And yeah, we only need to integrate it and get it into our bodies and then work with it. Yeah.
That's amazing. And it's really interesting how it's happening at the end of what a lot of people consider the worst year.
Yeah, yeah. And also at winter solstice, at the exact moment of winter solstice. So that's, you know, it's like, it's so unique that it's magical, and it has to be like it needs to bring forth something different. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
it cannot be a coincidence. That's what I mean. Yeah,
there are no.
It has meaning. Yeah, it has meaning. Yeah.
So this is also the holiday season. This is, you know, Christmas here. And what do you guys celebrate in the Netherlands?
So, well, this year we are not celebrating so many things. But in the holiday season, of course, we celebrate Christmas. But now we have only, we can come together with, I think, 2 people for Christmas. And then afterwards in New Year, only 1, or from, not from our family. And in the beginning of December, we have something that looks like Santa Claus, but we call it Sinterklaas. So it has, well, he has kind of the same name, but it's something else. A different tradition. Yeah.
So he doesn't come on a sleigh with reindeer.
No, he comes on a boat from Spain with his, we call them the Black Pigs. So he has all these servants, like maybe 20 servants, and normally we go to somewhere, to a harbor, to welcome Santa Claus, who comes from Spain with his following, and they carry the presents and the candy for the children. So they come off the boat, he gets on his horse, and then from his horse, we don't know exactly how he does it, but he throws the presents also with the horse from the chimney, so, and also with help of these pets of his. Yeah.
And that's not going to happen this year.
No, for several reasons. So one is that, of course, we have lockdown, so he hasn't arrived by boat. He has arrived online, I guess. But we weren't able. Back then we were able together, but not with so many people. So I gathered with my family or my parents, only my parents and my kid and my ex-husband. So we did the presents and the poems we write then and the nice things we come up with, mostly creative things to surprise others. The other reason that didn't happen is that the tradition is really, well, we cannot go on with it anymore because of the Black Pigs. And there has been a lot of resistance for several years now against this tradition. And for obvious reasons. I mean, there are a lot of Black people in the Netherlands who feel offended and feel hurt And as a kid, when you grow up in this tradition, you don't really see that these are Black people. You just see them as people who are bringing you presents. So you're not really, you're not really noticing the context. But now, also with a lot of things happening in the world and racism and all the and the demonstrations and everything, also in Amsterdam happening a lot, or at least before the lockdown, the resistance is growing. And even the prime minister now has said that he has gained the insight over time that this is a tradition we cannot go on with, that it should be stopped, and that we should find other ways to, well, to make this story that we tell our children a different story. Yeah. So it has been in the consciousness of people for, I don't know, I'm not sure when it began, but that people started to protest against it. I think it's like maybe 8 years now, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure. And for years, for at least 5 years, there has been a lot of resistance from the whole population, I guess, or almost the whole white population. And now in the last 3 years, it's really shifting. Like people in Amsterdam, a lot of people in Amsterdam don't believe anymore that we should continue this, because we can see, and we live with a lot of Black and white and yellow and all the colors here. So we can see that this tradition is offensive, and that there is a context that we have not been paying attention to. Mm-hmm. So, and now that this context is coming into the light or being visible, that we really need to change this. And it is changing, at least where I live. You know, there are no Black pits anymore in Amsterdam. And most, because Senna, he doesn't arrive in our harbor only. He arrives in all the other harbors at the same time. But we just say to our children that they are like his assistant Santa Claus. They look the same, but they are assistants. They are not the real one. Only the ours is the real one. So, but now the peats are having different colors, like rainbow. They are called rainbow peats, and we need to rewrite the songs. And you know, there's a lot of songs also and stories connected to it where we need to filter out what's not right anymore, and start to look for alternatives that are more in line with where we are now and what we believe now and what is right and just. And yeah,
I have to commend you guys in the Netherlands for even taking the time to look at this in the way that you guys have been looking at it. You said it may have started about 8 years ago, and it gained momentum about 5 years ago. And look at what you guys are doing. You're looking at it, you're changing it. The prime minister has taken a stance and said this needs to be done to make things more inclusive. Whereas compared to the States, people have been talking about the insults that have been displayed throughout the years, and things don't get changed. The momentum has been there for a while. It dies out. People don't want to change, or they justify their positions in some way. Recently, here in the States, there are two professional teams, one in, I think it's baseball, and the other football, where they dropped the offensive names of the indigenous people of America.
Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's taken a long time. Here it's, I know the Washington football team only changed their name because of corporate sponsorship leaving.
Yeah.
Okay, it had nothing to do with the request of the people. They have more to do with the corporate sponsors being upset by the names.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about the baseball team. I think they came to the decision on their own. It may have been prompted by corporate sponsorship. And it's getting done. Things are happening, but it's taken a long time. Yeah. I want to commend you guys for working so diligently to have things changed.
Well, it comes of course it comes from the Black community. That's where it started. But in Amsterdam we have this great variety of people, but more in the outside of Amsterdam, there's still a lot of resistance, or not even, you know, people are not confronted with it. So they don't know that it's painful. So the tradition there is as it was before. So although it is in the news, there's still a lot of people that, you know, that want to stick with this tradition. And then they are, you know, projecting it upon the children who need to have this tradition because it's such a great tradition. It is, in a sense, because we, because we get presents and I'm sorry, I'm just a little bit distracted.
I'm sorry.
It's what happens to me when I'm, you know. Let's see. Okay. But the children, we are fooling them anyway. You know, they are told by the age of 2 that there's this big man who will take them to Spain if they are not playing by the rules. his black piece will put them in his bag, in their bags, and take them to Spain and to punish them. So there's also a side of punishment to it. So there's more reasons why we should really change this tradition. But children, they don't know, you know, they don't know what's real or what's not real. They are formed by our stories, our myths. That's what we tell them, and that's what they believe. So for me, as a child growing up, you just believe that that's the truth, that you have this Santa coming from Spain with his black beads, and that's normal. And at a certain point, we have to realize that this tradition came from something, and it is connected to slavery, or that it is connected to stories that have been made up by, well, in times that people thought different things, and that we cannot hold on to anymore when like ages later, it's not true anymore. And it hasn't been true before, but, you know, then, well, in the 1800s, we didn't see black people in the Netherlands. There were only a few coming here, and they were brought here also as, you know, curiosities, mm-hmm. and being displayed on the central places in the city, just to watch and to see what, you know, I mean, for and the same for me, if I would go in that age to Africa, I would be like a curiosity. It's like a different time, but now we cannot do that anymore. That's the same, you know, dress up as black people, but because that's what happens. They are, these black Petes are not black people. They are white people coloring themselves black. So they could be, you know, purple. They could be white. I mean, they could be green or red. We can color them any color and tell our children that they are rainbow people. I mean, we don't need to make them black.
Yeah,
they will still believe the story. That's what I mean.
Right. It sounds so painful. Well, first of all, I want to say that it's very interesting that Santa comes from Spain. Okay, this person, this energy, this being who brings you presents. However, if you're bad or you're naughty, then the Pits are gonna take you to Spain to punish you.
Yeah,
that I'm sure is confusing to children, because I'm confused by it. Why would you? Yeah, I've never heard of the Santa referenced in that way here, where if you're naughty, we're going to have the elves take you to the North Pole and punish you.
Yeah, you freeze to death. Yes. No, it's just another way to control kids and just to make them nice and be grateful for their presence. And, you know, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, of course, in the minds of children, when they see black people, they may be afraid that this person is coming to get them, to take them to Spain, to punish them.
Yeah. And that's not, I don't think my, you know, if you, that's foremost in the old songs. Mm-hmm. So these songs were created, like, you know, in the, I don't know, like 50, 100 years ago, something like that. I'm not sure where it goes back to. So my daughter, she doesn't understand the lyrics sometimes, and she makes different words with it because she doesn't understand the words that they are using. For example, they have something like a stick, which we call the roux, that you're beaten with. Mm-hmm. But kids nowadays don't know what it is. It's like all these little sticks bundled together. It's a bundle of sticks, and then you're whipped with it. But that's so old-fashioned. I mean, we don't even know what it is anymore.
Right.
But the words are still in the lyrics of the songs. So also the, you know, you're being punished is something from the old days.
Mm-hmm.
And the culture we grew up in, where children didn't have anything to say, basically, and had to obey their parents. And Santa was another way of letting them obey. Yeah. And so we have all these rules, and you weave your traditions into it. But now, with our insight of today, we can easily say that, yeah, some of these aspects are not up to date anymore.
No, I can't even imagine that it would be considered up to date.
No. No.
Blackface was done away with years ago in the States, where white actors and actresses would put black makeup on.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's something similar. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's something similar. Yeah.
So
we might be quick in abolishing it, but we have been quite late in seeing it.
Yeah. Okay. I can definitely see that point. And I'm glad that people are looking at it and deciding to make the changes. That's important.
Yeah.
Especially because of the children having these negative beliefs, or the overall construct is penetrating the minds of children and instilling fear, I would say.
Yeah.
And it's also good to hear that different belief systems that are held, because I know in Iceland they also have a version of a Santa Claus. I'm going to mispronounce the name, so I apologize to all my Icelandic friends. the Grula or something like that, and she eats the children who are bad, or okay. Yeah, she's the wife of Santa Claus or something like that. And if I have the story wrong, I apologize. The next time I will correct it by next year.
Yeah. So we have to really deal with all these, you know, images and beliefs and stories. And that's what's going on now, I think, in lots of people, and also, but for the collective to change, that takes a lot of time. And unfortunately, it is the people that are hurt by it that are told to change it. Mm-hmm. And something feels off there. Like, you know, these people are hurt by it, so why can we not just abolish it? We can really listen. We could really hear that it's painful, it hurts, it's offensive. So why don't we just be empathic with that and see, and also see why they are hurt, and then just abolish it? Why do we need to hold on to it? I mean, that's something I cannot really understand. Yeah, we need some time. I mean, I know for myself, also in your head, you need some time to adjust. You need some time to see that an old story, you cannot hold it anymore. It's missing something. It's missing a point. Mm-hmm. You have some time, you need some time to adapt inside yourself, inside your head. And change your perspective. That doesn't happen overnight, usually. It can happen overnight, but usually with these kind of big and wide-held beliefs, we need more time. And one by one, adjust to a different perspective. But where I am now, I think, well, if it's hurtful for people, why don't we change it? Yeah.
Not everyone is where you are.
No, I know. And maybe a few years ago, if I saw the resistance, I wouldn't connect with it because it was not hurting me. But in the end, we are all connected. So that's something we need to start seeing. We are all connecting. So if we're hurting one population, we are also hurting ourselves, or the collective, or the earth. If we are killing people, we are killing ourselves.
So what do you say to those people who are in opposition to what you just said? Like, I'll give you an example. In the States, there are a lot of people who are, we call old school people, who say, oh, just deal with it, get over it. You're too weak, you're too sensitive, you're soft. Pull up your big boy or big girl pants and deal with the situation. Mm. Get over it. Oh, yeah. That was a long time ago. What do you say about that?
Well, when you say that, I just hear my parents, you know. Mm-hmm. That's the language our parents use to correct us, to make sure that we do not have our own vibrant living energy. So we are forced by these powers then to correct ourselves and to go back into line with what the majority of people believes. So first of all, we have to go inside to see how we are also restricting ourselves and are restricted by these hard voices and these harsh voices inside ourselves, and how we are doing it also to other people. So by becoming more loving towards yourself, you can become more loving towards others. If you can feel your own pain, then you can feel the pain of others. So what I notice is that it's very hard to call people on their, you know, and on their language or what they are saying. It doesn't really help. If you say you cannot say that, it's not going to help. So what I often notice is also when people in my surroundings make some kind of remark that I think is offensive to others, I will not always say something, because I can feel that it's offensive. And at the same time, if that's where they are, it doesn't really help to say something about it. Because you can feel the something in the remark that's still unsolved inside themselves. Some way of looking at the world, and they need to go to a bigger transformation to be able to align with something else, to become a different person with different opinions, different truths, with different language. So what do I say? I'm not sure what I say. Sometimes I don't say anything because I don't see the use, you know. But what I do wanna, and because the remarks can all be also be so, you know, little that it doesn't help. But what I do try is in a situation like this to go deeper into it and to explain, or to in my online work to invite people. You know, like the other day when we did this ceremony, I also ended with a blessing to dedicate the energy we had been feeling and transforming in ourselves and giving it back to the earth. And then also to end with a blessing for all people of all colors, of, you know, wherever they are, and the oceans and the animals and you know, to just dedicate at least my work to a bigger change. And also to educate people, of course, and that's where I'm coming now, to educate people on the deeper layers of who we are and the hurt that is carried inside ourselves, but also in the collective, and to make people aware of that and help them connect with that and from there change. Because when people change from there, it really changes.
Right.
That's transformation. And transformation is something that stays. It's forever. It's not like holding, you know, saying you cannot say that black people have different rights. It mean, and then people, they won't, you know, they maybe they will try to change their behavior, but unless they feel it, unless it's something they have felt in themselves, they will not really change it. They will maybe cover it up I mean, so your racism will be covered up. So you won't say these words anymore. And you won't do it anymore in like a very visible way. But it can still be there. And then you keep doing it in other forms.
But so, in essence, going back to the old way of taking things and putting it back in shadow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas right now, what I really appreciate about what's going on the planet right now is that people are expressing their lower selves.
Yeah.
And so it's out so that we can look at it and develop some kind of relationship to it, a dialogue.
Yeah.
So that we can get to know each other on a much deeper level.
Yeah.
So that transformation and change can take place, and that that's lasting change.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that too, because all the things that were covered are now up, you know, in racism and the Me Too and financial systems, everything that's not right is now up. We have to look at it, and you cannot, you know, you cannot close your eyes anymore. Before last year, even last year, only 1 year ago, we just could close our eyes and go back to business. That's what happened. We just go back to business as usual. Business as usual. Well, that's not happening anymore.
Good.
Yeah, and that's good. I'm so happy with that. I'm so happy with that. And I'm so grateful that I can, well, live also in these times. And it's hard and it's difficult. And a lot of people are suffering. But it's also really significant what is going on. It is different. It is different. And I'm thinking when after the first lockdown in the Netherlands, it ended in June, I guess. And then we had these big posters. They put on these big posters of a big company that is that manufactures suits. And there was this guy on these posters, and above it said, back to business or business as usual. And I thought, and you know, this white successful guy, also quite famous in the Netherlands. And I thought, you don't know what you're talking about. We're not going back to business yet. Never. Not in the same way. Not in the same way. Yeah.
Can never go back to the way that it was.
No, no. And there we have a choice. I mean, we have a choice to, and we need to take this choice. What are we going to align with? So you can align with the old, still wanting to go back to the old, to the structures of power and finance and suppression and everything, you know, the resources of the planet that we are just using for our own greed. Or we can align with the different energy that is now becoming more and more available for more people, which is about equality and connection and authenticity, different qualities that are more, palpable, I guess, also in the air and in everyone. Yeah. So things are changing.
They're changing, they're slow in a lot of places and a lot of countries. A lot of countries distance themselves, or people or groups or cultures distance themselves by saying, oh, that's not our issue here. We don't have a racism issue. We don't have a trans youth issue. We don't have an LGBTQ issue. We're different. And that's an American issue. I've heard that a lot, especially, you know, being part of the Barbara Brennan School, where it's international, where we have discussions about a race We did the HRD series, and there were people
meaning healing the racial divide.
Yeah, I have a problem with that title, though.
So. Yeah, but we have to say what it means, HRD. Oh.
Okay, I'll leave that up to you. But
it stands for healing the racial divide, but I understand your problem.
Yeah. Thank you.
And at some point, or not your problem, your problem with
the title.
With the title. No, it's all your problem.
I love how you brought that in.
Yes.
So yeah, there were people from other countries, providences or what have you, who would say, well, why are we bringing American politics into this group discussion? We're an international school. And what do you say to that when someone from a different country says, oh, I can't relate, Americans are pushing their agenda onto us, which I don't disagree with.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you say to that?
So I think the American culture is the white male dominant culture of the world. So I followed the series and I found it very insightful and refreshing. And there were a lot of things that I couldn't relate to, or I mean, the violence against Black people is, I hope, unheard of in the Netherlands. But again, I'm not totally sure what is covered up, you know. Mm-hmm. So, and I know the police in the Netherlands is definitely trained in a different way and are so much more connected to the public. Mm-hmm. And still there's a lot of fear also in the corps and of course also racism going on. But there's also a multicultural corps, I guess, with people. I guess there are more people of different colors here than, I'm not sure. So I don't think it's an American problem. This is the problem of this masculine dominance, masculine white dominance over the world. And this way of seeing things is so normal that we do not see anymore that it's abnormal, that it takes us out of connection with the earth and each other and the real needs we have as people. So, of course, I found it difficult to relate to the stories, mm-hmm. but it did confront me and it did make me feel uncomfortable. So what I can do then is say we don't have this in the Netherlands. That's not true for us. And it made me uncomfortable. So then I decided to feel into those uncomfortable feelings and just not know, to give myself space to not know what the answer was for me. And now I'm, you know, it also had a big impact on me and how I relate to things or how I want to talk about these topics, I guess. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we are deeply connected. So we cannot say that a problem on the other side of the world, like the icebergs in the ice in the polar, the poles are melting.
Yeah.
It's not in my backyard.
Right.
So it doesn't affect me. Yeah, maybe we have some more, our summers are warmer, so that's nice for us. Mm-hmm. I mean, it does affect us on a deep level. You cannot say it's not something that doesn't belong to me. Everything belongs to everybody. So the bigger the spaces where we give ourselves and others, the more we are connected to everything and everywhere. So as soon as you start in this transformational process, you start to connect first to yourself, then to others, and then to also to different dimensions, like the cosmos, but also to the earth. And that we really need to take care of ourselves. Self-care, very important.
Right.
And then take care of each other and of the planet. I mean, we are so interconnected, and that's our nature, but we are so separated from our nature.
Right.
So in the ideal world, I am white and black and yellow and red, and I am everything. I cannot say that I'm not black. I mean, my skin is white. My skin is white. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, I can feel connected to everything and everyone's pain. And I see the white dominant culture is really destroying the earth, where we all have to live on and all are fed by. And if we don't take care of her, we will be destroyed and we will destroy ourselves.
That's so true. We are all connected. And as I listen to what you're saying, I also recognize that the indigenous groups of people don't see each other or us as separate.
Yeah.
You know, the indigenous Americans, if you want to call them that, or the indigenous people of Turtle Island, because this place we call America was once called Turtle Island.
Yeah.
The indigenous people of Australia, New Zealand, the continent of Africa, and other places, the Amazon, we all walk as brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
Our communities. And we have a saying, and it's really interesting because it's the same saying for different groups of people, is that we're all family.
Yeah.
We're not just so we're all we're not neighbors, we're uncles and we're aunties. Okay. That way we take care of each other. We share in the happiness, the joys, and also the sadness and the low points. And we want to come together in prayer. We want to come together in ceremony so that we can heal and pay respect to Mother Earth, Father Sky,
yeah.
The directions, water, fire, and ourselves, because water flows through us. Okay, we're all connected.
Yeah.
So when one person's in pain, like you were saying earlier, it's important to go inside ourselves to notice what's going on inside. When we're uncomfortable, that's information. That information is key to transformation. And if we deny, or when we deny that pain or that anger or that frustration, we cause pain. We can cause pain to others. And it also always comes back to us. Would you agree?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Yeah. So how has this year been for you then? I mean, with so much going on in the Black community. And...
Mm-hmm. It's been an interesting year. Painful in a lot of ways. And I feel a lot of joy in other ways. I mean, this, like I said, I love chaos. I love chaos because it gives us the opportunity to transform, to recognize, to have conversation, and to start seeing each other. Whether we agree or not is irrelevant. Okay, but we have these conversations, which can lead to transformation. Where it gets tough for me is when people I look up to or have respected in the past, for a variety of reasons, like they're great, you know, and they're the top of their professional fields. To find out how disconnected they are, how, I'll just put the word out there, racist they are. They're, you know, if we talk about the definition of racism as systemic racism, the system that's in place, we talk about fragility or denial, then yeah, that causes separation, and I feel pain around that because I don't want to see that person in that way or those groups of people. And for listeners who don't know, I teach at the Barbara Brennan School of Healing, which is an energy transformation school, which is a very magical place. You know, when you do the work, you learn a whole lot about yourself, about who you are, your defenses, your woundings, your traumas. And each step of the way or each year is a different theme. So the first year we focus on our own individual wounds, traumas, defenses. We understand our characterologies, and characterologies, how our body has taken on the wounds. And it shows externally to others. Others can see. So it was created by bioenergetics founder Wilhelm Reich and Alexander Lowen. And then there was an offshoot of that, I believe, called Core Energetics. John Perakos really went into depth with it, with the training, and his wife, Eva Perakos, created or channeled the pathwork lectures. So we use those characterologies to help as a map of understanding who we are. And the second year focuses on relationship to the other. So the first year is relationship to self, second year is relationship to the other, third year is relationship to the divine, understanding who the authority is, inner authority versus external authority. And the fourth year, which is where I teach, is about the heart dimension, the level of intentionality, and your core essence, okay? Taking your uniqueness out into the world, because we are unique beings. So when you think of incarnation, we think of coming from the black velvet void. And this coincides with creation that, as explained through the religious books, there was darkness. That's the black velvet void. And then there's light. That's our core star. Okay. And that core star makes a decision, or that being makes a decision to incarnate, to understand lessons. So it goes through the hauric dimension, anchors in to the Dantian, through all of the seven levels that we teach about, into the physical body. So that's the transformation. And what I see at the school, like I said, it's magical, is that when people do the work, we can come together in unity and harmony, and we see each other. We really, truly see each other, and we hold each other. When people aren't willing to do the work, it creates frustration and sadness and separation.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of where I've been flowing this past year. Is like, oh, wow. There's no place for me.
Yeah.
And I'm the only black teacher at this time for the past, I don't know how many years. It's been a long time, a number of years.
Yeah.
I'm the only black man who's come through the school since, I think, there were two of us, and we both graduated from the advanced studies program in 2005. So since 2005, there hasn't been another black man come through the school. And I find that to be interesting.
Wow. Yeah.
And frustrating.
Yeah.
And have to wonder what that's about.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the school is in South Florida, so in Miami. So we have a lot of people from the Latin community come through the school. Mm-hmm. And that's great.
Yeah.
That's been a shift, because it wasn't like that when the school was in New Jersey,
yeah,
which is where I started. Yeah. And I know that the school was in Europe. That's where we met.
Yeah.
And I don't remember seeing any black students when I was there.
No. No, we had a white school. Yeah.
I think I was the first black teacher in the Europeans.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the only, to my knowledge.
Yeah. Yeah, so what I've noticed is that this thing we are suffering from it plays out in my life differently than in your life. Mm-hmm. But we suffer from the same white dominant masculine culture. So, and how it plays out for me is that, like, in the Dutch community, I was thinking about that when you were talking. We do not have these rituals and coming together and celebrations, and it's also practical and aligned with who you are is more defined by how much money you make or your status, instead of who you are and how you bring yourself into the world. And I really missed this being part of something larger than me, being connected to a more spiritual place where I think, well, if I look at the black community here, there's a lot more going on, I guess, in doing rituals and celebrations and coming together. I find this culture we believe so firmly in is separating us from each other and ourselves and our higher spiritual being. And I think that when we are not reflected in that, it's really difficult to believe something else, you know. And we are not reflected because you seem to be abnormal as soon as you start to, you know, do rituals, or I have this drum and I drum and it's, you know, I feel strange when I do it. I rather do it by myself and alone than being exposed while doing it. So I think that's such a big aspect of the white dominant culture, that it separates us from ourselves and each other.
Right.
And for me, it plays out differently than it does for you, but I suffer from that too, because I really, really need this sacred space. We do not have sacred space. I wouldn't know where to go to find sacred space.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's why I facilitate it. That's why I create that. But outside of myself, really difficult to find it. And now more and more, of course, because in the Netherlands, we have this also, when it's not there, we have this fertile ground to start doing it. there's not a dominant religion or something that forbids us to do that. But that it feels, this ground feels so barren sometimes. And that's the Netherlands. And also the Netherlands, you know, we were in a way also there when America was founded. I mean, right. You know, all those people, the founding fathers, I mean, I don't think they were Dutch, but maybe they were. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. So that's our cultural belief system from like a few hundred years ago. So the America and the States and the Netherlands, we are in a sense very connected in the way, you know, the culture works, I guess. But for us being a very small country, it is manageable, I guess. And with this much larger population and greater variety and more extremes in the States, you get fire. You get fire. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, one day we're going to really have a conversation about the true history of the States.
Yeah.
Because there's so much more than what we're taught. I don't know what you guys are taught about the States and the founding of the country here.
No, I heard this really nice word. It is his story. And that's true. I mean, it's his story and the story of the conquerors. That's the story we are told.
Yeah.
The story of the man who won and not of all the people and all the women that suffered.
Right.
Yeah. And there's a lot of stories too there. They are her story. Maybe they are Black story. They are different story. But we all believe his story.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And those are the pieces that really need to come to the surface.
Yeah.
The history of this country, the history of the travelers, the history of who we are as humans, as beings, how we came to be.
Yeah.
So that we can get back to that place of unity and harmony.
Yeah.
Consciousness shift. So what you were saying about the meditation that I really loved, and I think we talked about this before we started recording, is how you brought everyone together to create.
Yeah.
Can you go into that a little bit before we end?
Yeah. Yeah, what I really liked about this, you know, I feel I've always been very scared of groups of people. So I get really anxious in groups of people. So I just go to the background. You don't see me anymore. I don't like to speak up. In school, I was crying every time I said something until the fourth year. So, you know, it's totally blocked. It was. So also this in preparing for the meditation, I felt anxiety coming up again. And it usually happens at night when I cannot sleep and I feel my body starts to contract and I feel the fear coming up. And this time I thought, I don't have to lead this circle. I'm not like the leader. I am part of this circle. I'm one of all these people that are coming. I'm just one of everybody else. And that made such a huge difference. When I started to step into the circle, step into the energy of everybody, then I felt so much more relaxed, and then I could fall asleep. And so when So that's a thing that happened this week. So I started to realize how much I am part of it. Not, you know, not doing it, just being part. And the other thing is that when we were in lockdown and we are so now in this time, we are so trained to keep a distance. To we even the municipal Amsterdam is handing out posters that you have to hang in, before your window. It says, "I keep a distance from you because I love you." So I find that really painful because I don't think that's true. I think we can still be connected, and we need, especially in this time, we need to connect. And maybe we have to connect in different ways. Maybe we cannot come together in the same way as we did before. Maybe that's wise. I'm not sure, but that maybe that's wise. But we are trained to be afraid and to be scared and to keep a distance. And our children are looking at their parents with the mouth and face masks we wearing, and it's so unhealthy. So I really want to bring something else, and that's an energy field. In an energy field, you're always connected. As soon as you start connecting, you are connected. It's as simple as that. And then we have a group intention that this work that we are, not work, maybe it's not even work, it's being together in meditation or silence, or, and then our intention is that this is for the transformation of ourselves and the people in pain and the planet. So there is definitely many ways that we still can connect and be together and feel love, be in our hearts, be focused on healing and not on the fear. I mean, it's all about the focus. Where are we focusing on? I don't like that I cannot go to a restaurant, but I'm not focusing on it. I'm just focusing on how can I connect? Where do I find connection? So I found you. I found people. I mean, I found so many people this year. And that's where my intention was. My intention was I want to be connected.
Right.
I want to be connected. I want to feel love. I want to be loved. And it's happening this year. And yes, I'm often alone on my couch. And I still like this, you know, this body contact, and I miss the hugs and the being together. But I, at the same time, I feel full and light, and there's a lot of depth happening also. So I think we need to put our intention there. What do you really want to create? And yes, the forms we are creating in are different. We cannot, you know, create in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
But that's okay.
Yeah. Is okay. And as I listen to you, I can say that this year has been about self. How do I say this? Exploration.
Yeah.
Going deeper. Understanding and really having gratitude or appreciation for contact with the other.
Yeah.
This has been a very interesting time on this planet, you know, to see how some people are succumbing to the fear of social contact. and wearing masks and not making contact with the other. And then you have people on the opposite extreme who are the rebels and the rebellious ones and fuck this, I'm not doing this. And then you have people in the middle who say, well, I don't really believe in wearing a mask and I'll do it for the other. And I feel sad when I felt sad when you were sharing having to put the sign in the window.
Wow. You don't have to, huh? Dutch people don't easily, you know, do anything that they are told. That's our nature. But I must say that a lot of people are obeying now. Where I think, maybe we shouldn't obey this much. I think we should, you know, we should be in line in a certain way to protect ourselves and other people. And at the same time, our Ministry of Health has also said before that these mouth masks don't work. So why are we putting them on now? And that there are possibly they are even unhealthy.
Right.
So I'm a bit amazed also sometimes with the Dutch people who can have a really big mouth and can be really outspoken and you know, don't like to obey. Mm-hmm. But we are. So I'm not sure where that will bring us.
Yeah, I think that discussion is going to have to wait until the next time because I love the rebellious nature of.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, me too. So me too.
But,
yeah,
I like that. And
yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah. I think we really have to feel into ourselves and find our truth and believe that. That's the, you know, that's for real. What's there? Yeah. Yeah. So, do you have any intentions for 2021?
No.
Yeah. For our listeners. How can you say no?
Okay,
you have to be the good example here. Come on.
Okay, for our listeners,
yeah.
My intention overall, personally, is to connect with more people, connect with myself, continue to do my work, and to reach a broader audience. You know, see how we can be of service to everybody, how I can specifically be of service to people. And anyway, so if that means workshops, trainings, meditations, teaching in some way, then yeah, that's what I'd like to do. And also to connect with my indigenous group, my indigenous family on both sides, my paternal and maternal, because I'm finding out so much history of who I am and where I come from. So I want to continue doing that. And allowing my essence to shine and really making contact with others and respecting others' essence too. So I don't consider that an intention, and I will align with that positive intention.
Yeah.
And to do more work with you, obviously.
Yeah. Great. Beautiful. So I feel the same. To make it short. Yeah, I think this is really a time for, you know, healing and transformation. So, and I hope more and more people can align with that and feel that, and that it's really true. And that we can be those people. I really felt this year that I became a different person. And as soon as I've seen it for myself, then I really believe that everybody can do it. Yeah.
Well, I want to wish you a very Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
All of our listeners as well.
Yeah, thank you. for the whole wide world.
The whole wide world. Happy Hanukkah, whatever beliefs we hold.
Yeah.
This time of ending.
Yeah.
And transformation.
And, yeah, ending and new beginnings.
New era, new beginnings.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think we're out.
Yes, we are. See you soon.
See you soon.